The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Let's notice this again, if we could please, this morning. Look at Acts chapter 27 and verse 21. The Bible says again that, but after long absence, the Bible says Paul stood in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not loosed from Crete and have gained this harm and loss." And so Paul had reminded them and said, "Now, look, you should not take this journey at this time." They decided they were going to do it anyway. Of course, this is a voyage that they're taking to Rome. And as they're taking this voyage to Rome, you'll see that they came across some tremendously bad weather. And that weather was causing so much damage to the ship that the ship was just beyond repair. And they had some choices to make. You know, somebody said this, that a crisis doesn't make a man, but rather a crisis reveals a man. And that's what we find out right here in the Apostle Paul's life. And I want us to focus this morning on leading during the times of crises. Now, may I say, I believe our nation is in a time of crises. But may I say, our nation is not all of a sudden just came into a time of crises at this moment. We've been in a time of crises for many years now, and we're still in a time of crises. So what do you do? How do you lead your family during times of crises? How do you lead your family when there's times where all of a sudden you just don't know what to do? How do you lead your family when there's maybe a death that occurs in the family and that is the crises? How do you lead your family when maybe there's a financial reversal that's in your life? Maybe something is happening to your health and you don't know what to do because you've got health issues that you never faced before in your entire life, and you don't know what to do with these health complications that you have, and that's a crisis that's in your life. What do you do during those times? Well, I'm so glad that we have a Bible. I'm so glad that in the Bible we have the answers to all of those questions that we have in our hearts, and maybe sometimes the questions of uncertainty that we have in our hearts, and God has certainly an answer. Look at it, if you will, together with me. Acts chapter 27 and verse 21, the Bible says, "And Paul stood forth in the midst of them." So here's what we see. Leadership during crises is this. Leadership is always courageous during times of crises. You'll see that leadership has to be able to lead in a time of crises, and it might be, again, it might be a crisis in your family, it might be a crisis with your health, it might be a crisis with your friend, it might be a crisis with your vehicle, it might be a crisis you just maybe build a house and the house is now run out of the warranty time because it's past your limitations there, and so no telling what that crisis is, but those crises will come for sure. So what do? You be courageous to be able to accept responsibility in the crisis time. Somebody said this, someone needs to do something. Somebody else rose up and said, "I'll be that one to do it." We've all watched Ted Cruz, the senator from Texas, as he stood there, and the media said that he stood for 21 hours as he did the filibuster against the destructive Obamacare. And so as he stood and he stood his ground. Now, wait a minute, what was that? That was somebody, whether you agree with him or not, very courageous. Very courageous. And by the way, what we need in government, what we need in our society, what we need, or listen to me, in your community, what we need in your household is somebody that is courageous. Here, Paul is on a ship, okay? He had no control over the ship. Do you understand that he had warned them and said, it's not good to take this cruise, if you want to call it that. It's not good to take this voyage. It is not good to do this. And he warned them, but they decided to do it anyway. Now, he is stuck on the boat. He is there. He is stuck on the boat. As he's stuck on the boat, believe it or not, that storm is going to hit that boat, whether he votes for the storm not to hit the boat or not. I mean, he is there. He's going to find himself in the midst of the storm. Whether he voted to go through the storm or not, he's in the midst of the storm. One thing you find out about the Apostle Paul, I believe that he was very courageous at this time in his life, because here's what you see about the Apostle Paul. The Bible says that Paul stood forth in the midst of them. Now, understand as you read your Bible what is taking place. This storm is hitting this ship, and it's hitting it to a degree that it is tearing it apart. All right, as the storm is getting ready to tear this apart, these are excellent seamen. These seamen know exactly. They've been through storms before, but the Bible teaches that they were running to and fro across the ship, and so they were in panic mode. Now, by the way, somebody that is an expert in leading, or somebody that's an expert, if you will, please, in shipmanship, and all of a sudden they come across a storm and it causes them to panic, then I've got news for you. It's probably pretty bad. And so they're running back and forth across the ship. And here Paul is just kind of standing there in the midst of them. He's not panicking. He's not throwing up, if you would please, a white flag of surrender. He is not running back and forth with them in a way that they're doing it, or even just mimicking them for fun. He is taking it very serious, but he's watching them. He's watching them. Did you ever see a child and you told the child not to do something, and all of a sudden the child did it, and then they got in trouble, and then you told them not to do it again, and you watched them, and they did it, and then they got in trouble, and what do you do as a parent? Well, you instruct them not to do it again, and then you just see how long it takes them to obey. Well, here Paul said, now look, I don't think that you ought to take this voyage. I don't think that it's safe. I don't think you ought to do it. They decided to loose from Crete. They decided to take the voyage anyway. And here's what he is doing. He is standing in the midst of them. Now, by the way, that takes some courage. It takes somebody that's a little bit courageous to simply stand there, and they're running back and forth and they're panicking and stuff like that. So he stands there, and that speaks volumes of his character. Okay, listen, somebody in your household has to remain calm when things do not go right. Somebody in your marriage has to remain calm when things do not go right. Somebody in your community has to remain calm when something does not go right. And so the Apostle Paul is here, and his leadership is very courageous. Statement number two, his leadership was under control. Now watch what the Bible says. Acts chapter 27 and verse 23, the Bible says this. The Bible says, for there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. And so what is he doing? He is under control because he knows that there is one more powerful than him. He knows that God is the one that can help. Somebody says a successful man is one that can take the bricks that is thrown at him and lay a perfect foundation. All right? So what is that? That is somebody that is in control. In control. So what happens is the Apostle Paul does this. The Apostle Paul is under control, even though these other ones that are on the ship are running to and fro. These other ones that are on the ship kind of panicking, not knowing what to do. The Apostle Paul is one that is just watching, and his confidence is not in the men. Did you notice that? His confidence was not in the storm. Did you notice that? His confidence was that God himself had sent an angel that night. And by the way, did you notice that it was at night when God sent the angel? It wasn't in the daytime when everything was sunshiny and pleasant. Wasn't in the daytime when the sun is beaming down from the heavens and you feel the warmth of God's encouragement upon your back. It was during the time of night. It was during the time of darkness. And so God sent that which was an encouragement by way of one of his angels and said unto the Apostle Paul, he said this, he said, you just stand still. And by the way, the Apostle Paul standing still and listening to the encouragement of that angel was able to take that over to encourage somebody else. Here's what we see about the Apostle Paul, very courageous, very courageous. And sometimes our children have to be courageous. This last week, my daughter had laser surgery. She has braces, and they had to do something to try and get one of the teeth to come in. And so she had that done, I guess, about 3 months ago or so. And they lasered that. And then they decided that they would go ahead and try and cauterize that so that it would close up and be able to heal on its own and stuff like that. And so it was on Tuesday morning early, and I was in the bedroom. My wife went up because Rebecca had hollered, and so she went upstairs and come to find out that Rebecca's mouth was just full of blood. Now she's 17 years of age, and she's a pretty balanced kid, but 17 years of age. But you know, when a 17-year-old girl has a mouth full of blood, it's going to make her kind of nervous. So she had a mouthful of blood, and it had dripped over onto her pillow, and so her pillow was, partially saturated there. And so by the time I got upstairs, they're in the bathroom, and Rebecca's got her head over the sink, and it looked like she was throwing up blood, but it wasn't. It was coming out so quickly that it was just a continual pour. So we tried to get her to drink some water. That way we could find out where it was coming from, and that didn't work. She was bleeding so much. And so we decided, well, you gotta apply pressure to it, because if you don't apply pressure to it, it's never going to stop. But we couldn't figure out where it was coming from. We had no idea where it was coming from. You know, it was like an oil leak on the bottom of the car. You just couldn't figure it out. You just couldn't figure out where it was coming from. And so we tried to get her to drink more water, and that didn't work. And so we had an idea. Let's get a towel. And let's put that towel in her mouth and let her bite down on that towel, because if you get enough towel in the mouth and you bite down on it, it's going to create pressure all throughout the top of the mouth. And if she could just hold that in there for a while, at least it might stop it to, maybe not stop it, but slow it down. And she was getting blood everywhere. I'm not trying to be gross, but this is reality, what was happening. And so we got her in the car, and we took her down to the dentist, hoping the dentist would be there. And of course, nurses always show up, I found out, before the dentist does. So we found some nurses in a different at a different place than where her dentist and orthodontist is, and so they really didn't know what to do, and so we kind of wasted a little bit of time there, and then the other people came in, and we went over there, and by that time, because of the pressure, the blood had stopped. It was just a little hole, but a little hole in the right place could cause some great damage. And so, you know, when they looked at it to begin with, it was no big deal, and, you know, it's okay, and, you know, she just bled a little bit. Of course, in our head, we know that it wasn't a little bit, and we're not panicky type of people. But, so we decided, okay, well, you know, maybe it has clogged itself, it'll be okay. And so I came into work, and Mrs. Wells and them, of course, went to the house and got their stuff and was going to go over to the other part of Dallas where her dentist was, because he was not coming into the office there in Forney today. And so he checked her out and said, well, you know, it's probably taking care of itself. And so then that afternoon it broke again. I mean, just a run in blood. And so they called the surgeon. He drove 2 hours in from a place he was visiting. And thank God for somebody that has a heart. Drove 2 hours in and was able to slice it back open with the laser and pack it and be able to cauterize it. And then everything was good. But can I tell you something? During those times, that little girl had to be courageous. She had to be courageous. During those times, she had to maintain a little bit of control. She's 17, and a 17-year-old that has a big body, it would have been rough, me dragging her down the stairs, putting her body in the back of the vehicle, and then taking off. All right, so there had to be some cooperation there. Now, wait a minute, you know what we did? Notice what we did. I think that we tried to do maybe something like the Apostle Paul did here. Now, watch this. Look at Acts chapter 27 and verse 22. The Bible says, and now I exhort you, be of good cheer. He says, for there shall be no loss of a man's life among you. Watch what it says, but of the ship. And so, I hugged her, Brother Palmore Sr., I hugged her, and I said, honey, it's going to be okay. Now, in my heart, I wanted to believe that. Hello? And I hugged and said, it's going to be okay. And I pat her on the back and we prayed. And then she would begin to cry and begin to tremor. I mean, she'd just begin to tremor. And I'd hug her again and I'd pat her on the back and say, honey, it's going to be okay. And I prayed with her again. Now, what am I saying? Saying this, I'm saying that in the midst of a storm, somebody's got to be courageous and somebody has to be in control and somebody has to give some comforting. And it, by the way, it might be a child that comforts a parent. It might be that there's somebody that works for someone, and that's the employee that comforts the employer. It might be that the employer comforts somebody that's the employee. But isn't it neat to be able to comfort people? I was watching in our Sunday school class one Sunday, and there was somebody comforting somebody else. I thought, well, that is neat. I've watched several of our teenage girls that come forward sometime to pray, and they pray in little groups with their friends, and especially like on a Sunday night, if you come here to Sunday night service, and the altars are just jam-packed, you know, many times all the way across here and down the aisles as people are praying, and I watch people as they get in their groups. And they'll come forward, and it might be a family that prays together. It might be two friends that pray together. But I watch them as they come forward, and many, many times, God does some real special things in our Sunday night services. And I watch God begin to work, and people come forward, and they begin to pray together and things of that nature. And may I say, there has to be somebody that will rise up and give some comfort. When I go to do funeral services, many times, I'll be honest with you, I'm not there for the person that is gone. I'm there for the people that are there. Because the person that is gone is already gone. But I could use my abilities to be able to comfort somebody that is still presently there, to be able to encourage them. And here's what the Apostle Paul said. He said, now, he said, I exhort you, be of good cheer. Can you imagine how these men felt? They're in the biggest storm of their life. What they would consider a crisis compared to nothing else. And now all of a sudden, the Apostle Paul, who is standing in the midst, just kind of walks over casually and says, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. How do you be of good cheer when you're in a crisis? Hey, go ahead and cheer up. Let's die together. Go ahead and cheer up. We're all going to drown. Go ahead and cheer up. You'll never see your wife again. You'll never see your kids again. You'll never see your mother-in-law again. You'll never be able. Now, wait a minute. And so here's what he was. He was a courageous individual. He was under control. He was somebody that went over. And what was he doing? He was comforting those that was around them. Now, by the way, just by the sheer fact, Doc, that he wasn't running back and forth was comfort. Because he was showing others that, what are you panicking for? He was showing others, okay, it is going to be okay. And when you go through a crisis in your family, in your business, in your community, maybe you go through a crisis in your personal life, I'm telling you, sometimes children have to be strong for their parents. Sometimes the parent has to be strong for the child. Sometimes the grandparent has to be strong for the grandchild. Sometimes somebody's got to decide that I'm going to be that one that will have that courage. And sometimes it's just an encouraging word. That's all it is. Sometimes it's just a pat on the back to say, hey, it's going to be okay. Dad comes home and he's dog tired. I mean, boy, he comes in, he works all week long, and Friday is not really one of his favorite days of the week because everything collaborates on Friday and it all comes together. And so now he's playing catch up, if you will, and he did not do such a hot job in catching up. And he comes in and he's all stressed out. You know, it would be nice if the wife would simply say, honey, hey, let's do something neat together tonight. It would be nice if the child would say, hey, Dad, I was thinking about you today, and I know it's been a rough day, but hey, let me do something with you extra tonight. See, somebody has to perform being that courageous one. Somebody has to rise up and be the one that's in control and not get emotional about something so that it jerks a panic wheel. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever ridden with somebody in a vehicle and all of a sudden there's an oncoming car or something like that and they go into the panic and they jerk it real quick? Then when they run off of the road, sitting in the ditch, here's what they say. I wish I wouldn't have did that. But it's too late once you're sitting in the ditch. Have you ever seen somebody that was in a basketball game and they got caught up in the moment? Somebody actually trusted them enough to throw them the ball. So now they're in possession of the ball. They've never had that moment before in their life. And so now, with that anxiousness in their heart, they think with all gravity that they can shoot it from half court and it's going to sink. And all of a sudden, they shoot that thing and it doesn't even make it to the rim. And then they feel bad because they were anxious about it. Have you ever done that in your life? Notice here's what you see. The Bible talks about how Paul, he was very courageous. These guys are running back and forth. These guys not knowing what to do. They've never seen a storm like this. And then Paul, just in control, standing in the midst of them. Then he comforts them. And his words are kind of astonishing the way he says it. But he says, look, be of good cheer. Just be of good cheer. In other words, be happy. Going to the dentist, what do? Be of good cheer. Going to the doctor, what do? Be of good cheer. Lawnmower broke down. Be of good cheer. Things are not going well. Be of good cheer. Now, wait a minute. Watch what he says here. Look in your Bible, if you will. Not only was he somebody that was courageous and in control and comforting, but he was very competent. He was very competent. Now watch this, if you will. Look at it in Acts chapter 27 and verse 25. The Bible says, wherefore, sirs, he says, be of good cheer. I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. He said, look, I just want to tell you, the reason that I'm not doing this, and the reason I'm not biting off my fingernails, and the reason that I'm not losing hair, and the reason that I'm just not, and he said, because let me tell you, God is the one I believe in. Now, by the way, who is the controller of the sea? Who is the one that can control your sea? Who is the one that could control the things that is hitting your house, that house being symbolic as that ship? Who is the one that could, if we call upon him, you know, the Bible says that we have not because we... Talk to me. We have not because we, if we have not because we asked not, might it be a good idea to simply ask? Now, I don't care who you are this morning, there will be a day in your life when you're going to feel compelled or forced to ask. There will be a day in your life where if, and that's why it's so important that you train up your children in the way they should go. That's why it's so important to train your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I'm going to tell you why. Because there is going to be a day when they meet the Creator. There is going to be a day when only God can come through. There is going to be a day, and I don't care what you know. I don't care where you are. I don't care who your friend is. But there's going to be a day when you're going to stand lonely before God, and the realization will come into your life of, I need God. There's going to be a time when it seems like that nobody understands you and you can't receive any type of comfort or any type of help. That was Paul. Paul was standing all by himself. Paul was there as those that was on the ship was running panically back and forth. And the apostle Paul stood there and just kind of watched them. Have you ever seen your children as they panically run back and forth because you said, clean up the room? And they waited till the last minute. That's called procrastination. They waited till the last minute, and then they heard your steps coming their way. And you peek your head around the door. And as you peek your head around the door, those kids are scurrying at the last minute to clean up their mess. Isn't that like us? God, I can control it. God, it's okay. God, I just want you to know that I am the one that I'll just take care of this and I'll clean up my own mess. Then all of a sudden, You hear that the deadline is getting close. I don't know how many college kids will say, well, yeah, I know I have an essay. I know I've got a report. I know that I've got a term paper. And I'm going to get it done. Well, when are you going to start it? Well, it's not due for 2 days. Why should I start it now? I've got 2 whole days. Well, what are you going to be doing tonight? Oh, I don't know. I'm going to a Ranger game. Well, why don't you go ahead and start it tonight? No, it's not due for 2 days. Isn't that the way it is? You'd be surprised how many people get their car inspected late. Or they wait to the very day. And then all of a sudden something comes up and the very day is so crowded. Or you get there and you don't have time because you have work. And you come to find out there's 52 people in front of you that did the same thing. Hello? Oh, we don't go to the dentist until it hurts so bad that it's swelling outside of the cheek. Hello? We don't go to the eye doctor until it gets so blurry that we can't see. Yeah. We don't have the checkup until we have reason to believe there's something wrong and now we're going to check up to see what it is. You know, we don't get people to help us in our marriage until it's almost beyond hope. It's true. The average people that come to my office for marriage counseling are not people, you know, we're having this little bitty problem. She can't figure out how to keep the lid on the peanut butter jar. We need really some help with this. It's never that. It's always the big thing. You know, they come in and normally when people come into my office for marriage counseling, you can tell if it's really bad. Because what I do when people come in for marriage counseling, I put the chairs close together. You know how you can tell when it's really bad? When they walk in, they move the chairs far apart. And I say, you can sit together. We're not ready for that yet. How long you been married? 32 years. You can always tell when it's really bad. And that's what we do. We wait till it's really bad in order to be able to fix it. And we're not supposed to wait till it's really bad. We're supposed to have confidence in God. We have a competent God. And because of that, God can give you the confidence. God can give you the encouragement that you need in time of trouble, in time of stress, in time of crises, that you too should be able to say with confidence in God, be of good cheer. I believe God, and it shall be even as he told me. You know, you take different ones out soul winning with you, and sometimes we go out door knocking at our church, and we go out and invite people to church, and some of you are here today, no doubt, because somebody invited you. But we'll go out and we'll invite people, and sometimes we'll leave a flyer on the door, what we call a track, and you know, sometimes we'll leave that invitation, maybe about a ministry on the door because we heard that you were interested, and maybe you filled out something online or you filled out something that was in one of our services and said, I'm interested in the children's ministry or I'm interested in the youth ministry. And so, you know, we have different brochures we're making up to be able to bring by, to be able to show you or at least be able to sit down and communicate with you about that particular ministry. Now, may I say, there has to be somebody that will rise up and say, look, I really believe that God can do this. God is the one that can do this. Right, let me give you one last thought. You ready? I said that leadership, and I'm talking about leadership in a crisis. Leadership needs to be courageous, needs to be under control, needs to be comforting, needs to be competent, and also needs to be connected. What do I mean by connected? You can't handle your problems. You have to go to somebody sometime in life that you say, give me some heads up. Give me some ideas. Things aren't going so hot. Give me some insight. What would you do in this particular situation? See, the Bible says, and look in your Bible, if you will, look at Acts chapter 27, verses 35 and 36. The Bible says, and he had thus spoken, Bible says that, listen to it now, he took bread and he gave thanks in the presence of them all. The Bible says, and when they had taken, they'd eaten. Now watch this. And the Bible says is that what it says? Then were they all of good cheer. All right? And so this is after things have come to pass. And now they see, hey, it did work. I did not lose my life. I was able to go forward. I was able to come to the end of that. See, the good thing about this is, watch this. When you're in a panic mode, I would probably say that your decision maker's out of place. It's during the high times in your life it's easy to make right decisions. It's during the low times in your life that you find it rather difficult. Because when you're emotionally involved, hello, it becomes difficult to make sound decisions. Can I tell you, these men were emotionally involved? Man, they're running back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Hello? And the Apostle Paul just kind of standing. I could almost see him now. The Apostle Paul just kind of standing there, just kind of watching him. Just going back and forth. Now, is the storm real? Is everybody, including Paul, facing the storm? Is America in trouble? Talk to me. Is America in trouble? Are we all in the same ship? How are you facing it? Is your family in trouble? How are you facing it? You can be the one that panics. You can run back and forth and say, I just don't know what to do. You know, I thought things would turn out different. I just can't believe that. This problem. And you can do that if you want to. Or you could be like the Apostle Paul and just kind of sit back a little bit and evaluate. Just evaluate. Evaluate the whole picture. Evaluate the ones that's running back and forth. Evaluate that, first off, they don't even have God. And if they did have God, I'm not talking about these men, but I'm talking about our nation, they still may panic. So what do? You sit back and you evaluate. Okay, is the storm real? Yes. Is the storm tearing apart your house, your home? Is the storm something that could cause grave damage to everybody that's involved? Yes. So here's what we could do. We could dive out here like everybody else and start running back and forth. Now, by the way, you'll lose weight that way. You might even have to take some meds because you're about to have a nervous breakdown. You could do that. The world does that. Or you could be like the Apostle Paul. It says, okay, I can take courage because I know who is in charge of the storm. I know that God is the one that could rescue his people. And so now you're able to step out being a little bit different. He stepped out. He was in the midst of them. Panic all around him in the midst of them. And as he was in the midst of them, he took great comfort. And because he took great comfort from God, he was able to give great comfort to them. And the great comfort was, be not afraid. Be of good cheer. Because God has sent his messenger. God has sent his angel. And the angel said that no man shall lose his life save the ship. But there's not going to be a man that's going to perish. So Paul said simply this, stay with me in the middle of the storm and I'll get you through. And there will be a day where we sit down. And by the way, there was a day when they sat down and they were of good cheer and they were beside each other and they were connected into what God did and they saw it. There was a guy by the name of Jimmy Banks. I don't know who he is. I have no idea. Pastor in Missouri. And so he Twittered this, and it says this. Worry looks at the world. Problems look at people. Concern looks at circumstances. Praise looks at the provider. And solutions look at the Savior. That's pretty good. I don't know who the guy is, but he did a good job, didn't he? Now, may I say this? May I say, we understand that we need to look at the Savior, because only the Savior had Brother Nash to teach while I was in the Philippines, and he taught on a Wednesday night. And one of the things he taught on a Wednesday night is you go to someone that is able to handle the problem. In other words, that has the ability, the wherewithal, to handle the problem. May I encourage your heart today? There's not a problem that you have in your life, dear beloved friend, that God himself cannot handle. There's not one. You may feel lonely today. You may feel down today. You may feel depressed today. You may feel like you're in a world all by yourself today. You may feel like there is no hope today. You may feel like your best friend, your neighbor, your relative has turned their back on you. But I can tell you for certain that God has not done that, and God can help you. And I'm not preaching a prosperity type of gospel. I'm giving you reality right now. As a child of God, you have complete access and direct ability to the throne of God. And don't forget that when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, God the Father became your Father. And when you go to him as your Father and you say, dear God, please help me, then he will help you with the full persuasional power that he has to be able to help you as your Father. So you don't have to be a stranger to him. You don't have to handle things by yourself. All right, watch this. The only way Paul was able to stand in the midst of them with courage, the only way that he was able to stand in the midst of them and be able to comfort them and encourage them was the fact that he had received encouragement sent down from God the Father. All right, so Dr. Smell, if you don't mind, stand. Watch this. So one day I see that Dr. Smell has poochie lip disease. He's got his bottom lip sagging between his two big toes. He's having trouble walking. Now, he's vice president. He's a great guy. Knows his Bible well. Good personality. All right. But I find out he's got poochie lip disease. You know, as vice president of our Bible college, doing a great job training our young people and young people that come here from other states that come here to our Bible college and training them to go into the ministry. Hey, does a great job. Okay, but one day I just happened to notice he has got poochie lip disease. Now, I can go to him and say, hey, doc, let me encourage you. But if I go to him just as a man to a man trying to encourage him, I'm going to fall short. I promise you, I'm going to fall short. But if, stand up, Dr. Nash, if you will, if I go to God, if that would be God, we'd all be in trouble. Reality-wise, in my life, I do go to God, all right, but in pretense, if this would represent the Lord, and I go to him, and I say, I really need help, and he says, well, let me show you something, and he shows me something in the Bible, and now I take that truth, and I go over to Dr. Smell with that truth. By the way, that's exactly what Paul did. Paul didn't say, hey, let me tell you, I can help you. Paul didn't stand in the midst of them and said, be of good cheer, for I'm here by myself. I got a word from me. It's going to be okay because me said. No, he can't do that. He went to God. By the way, it was in the night. It was in the night. The loneliest time of your day, night, when all the problems build. You lay a bed. Come on. They say that people worry more in bed than any other place in their house. It's where they worry the most. It's what they say. So here you are. You're laying in your bed at night, and you worry, worry, worry. Brother Roloff used to say, read your Bible, and the devil will rock you to sleep. He don't want you to read the Bible. All right, so here's what I do. I read the Bible, and I get some courage. Not courage in myself. Who am I? Who are you? May I tell you, I love you. Let me help you. I worry for churches where pastors are always pointing to themselves. Because when they die, when they move on, normally things fall apart. We need to point to Christ. All right? So I get all that. Oh, thank you. And I go over here and I say, hey, doc, let me show you this right here. And he says, wow, God would do that for me. Wow. Now, I got to be a part of the messenger boy. Yeah. So I was a part. That's all Paul did. Paul said, look, guys, I see you're running back and forth. Thank you. He said, don't panic. He said, be of good cheer. He said, tonight, I was there just like you. Angel came to me. Here's what God said. Here's what God said. He said, be of good cheer. It'll be okay. Just stay by the stuff. May I tell you, be of good cheer. It'll be okay.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at pbcmesquite.org.